Thank you. Welcome to our presentation. I'm Sarah from OpenSUSE and Kyndryl. I'm the team lead of OpenSUSE C-Systems, and this year I'm really happy that also an IBM wanted to join our OpenSUSE conference as a speaker, and therefore welcome to Nestor.
Thank you. I'm Nestor, IBM and Red Hat partner engineer, so you can find me via these two email addresses. My main job now in IBM was to enable OpenShift virtualization for the SIT architecture. I will speak later about that. And mostly in the ecosystem part, like new images, and that's when it comes to OpenSUSE.
That is our agenda. Firstly, we are telling something about us. Then I go through the hot topics of last year, what has been introduced. I will tell something about the hardware upgrade status, GNU COBOL for S390X, what has happened here, S390X on Lima. We have got some virtualization topics here, and then Nestor will tell us how OpenSUSE on OpenShift virtualization is looking like, and he has got a demo prepared. About myself, I am part of OpenSUSE since around 10 years. I started in the documentation area and the translation area. Now I am part of a release engineering team for and I'm responsible for S390X. I'm a team lead for S390X. My main job title is Senior Lead Mainframe Architect, Open Source at Kyndryl. OpenSUSE maintenance is one day per week, paid in my case, and I am the founder and the chair of the Linux Distribution Working Group, therefore I am also the point of contact for all Linux distributions and also upstream projects if any support regarding S390X is required.
Yeah. So for me to add to what I said before, I am working on the S390X enablement of OpenShift virtualization plus new features. So I guess in one of the last presentations we heard about how is to maintain S390X packages and how is the cost of porting, so we can spend some words about that afterwards. And yeah, so that's it.
The hardware upgrade status, everybody wants to receive a hardware update at the moment. There is a little bit of a problem in the background, but we have received the agreement from the US after one LinkedIn escalation from my side at the I Love Free Software Day. The response was, you will receive access via your open mainframe project. That is a solution where we should receive VPN access to IBM systems then. Therefore, there is an extra form now available for open source projects where you have to define AI requirements as a definition that you can receive C16 access. Kubernetes clusters won't be provided at the moment because Spire isn't allowed to be tested by Linux distributions at the moment, but Telum processors on C16 version level, that is the version of 2 years ago what has been released, that is possible if we have got a requirement like supporting the Python community, that the hardware compatibility will be added upstream. With such project requirements, we can receive access to an IBM system C16 with VPN access for the open mainframe project. The C17 with the Spire cards for building LLMs and something like that is not available so long the enterprise distributions don't have got access, and that has got the requirement that the second version of the C17 will be released. One hint, 1 week ago, IBM champions have received a feature talk by IBM, what will be published. The rule is 1-2 weeks later should be the official announcement. And based on that, we should receive also new mainframe versions of by IBM, and that's the timestamp where Linux enterprise Linux distributions can receive a hardware upgrade, and then also the Linux One community cloud can be upgraded afterwards. And the order is Red Hat, Canonical, SUSE, and if I have got it correctly in my mind, 2 or 3 days distance between. And 1 month later, the Linux One community cloud. That is what I can say about the hardware upgrade status. Then we had a nice meeting at FOSDEM this year with the GNU COBOL maintainers and the Linux distributions. They want to receive more enterprise support also, but also they have said we don't have got any S390X VMs for testing, and then I have organized that they have received VM access in the Linux One community cloud. Now open source projects can receive also COS VMs. These ones have got also a higher priority on IBM side than the Linux systems anyways, and they have received also VMs for that. So in the future, GNU COBOL will work on both operating systems, C Linux, the same as GNU COBOL. I am the GNU COBOL maintainer at OpenSUSE. Most tests are running well. I'm also in a good contact with the maintainers. And yes, the goal is that a better S390X release and also for COS will be released. And then some people know that, especially the GCC maintainers, GCOBOL has been merged in GCC. That requires more adaptations for S390X. At the beginning of the year, the US developer for GCOBOL said when most tests have been failing, he's improving it this year, and the goal is that next year will be also GCOBOL in for GCC for S390X available. On x86, it is working already. Then, virtualization. Lima VM has reached out to us regarding our VM images we have provided. Lima is a VM environment. Not only VMs, they are providing also support for Rancher desktop, Podman desktop, and K0S as a Kubernetes environment. And they have added our OpenSUSE virtualization images inclusive S390X. I was positively surprised. That's an experimental feature, the new architecture added to that. And yes, then you can run also VMs a little bit easier with a user interface and everything else. Additionally, besides of the default KVM with QEMU. We have got all the OpenShift virtualization in parallel. You will receive an overview about it afterwards. Here you can see we have received these requests from multiple sites for minimal VM images. Therefore, we have created these builds and have published it. So you can receive QCOW images, RAW images for OpenSUSE Tumbleweed. We have got a separate appliance a repository for downloading these ones for that, and OpenSUSE Lib 16 images are together with the other architectures in one appliance repository, so you have to identify S390X in the name, and then you know you are using S390X images for that. Then he is the contributor for OpenShift virtualization, the container disks, how it is called. These ones are the virtualization images for OpenShift virtualization. are in Quay.io, where is a special repository for container disks, and you can see OpenSUSE Tumbleweed exists there also. And therefore, I give you the stage.
Okay, thank you. So let's see.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, as you can see, that's the proof that Tumbleweed is being built for S390X for OpenShift virtualization. This is actually the result that, that we commit to this container, this repository, and then we have a CI behind which tests, and whenever a change is in Tumbleweed, like you can see a day ago, and you can see here that the manifest for S390X are built. These container disk images are more or less a scratch container image with the QCO image packet on top of that, because Kubernetes understands containers. I will explain a little bit more later about it. And we even have a list, if you have interest, here, a list of certified operating systems for OpenShift virtualization. Yeah. So, where you can see that also OpenSUSE at the end, as community supported, is for S390X and also for x86, because that was a nice history behind. Also, the efforts to enable it for S390X also allowed to enable it for x86, because there were common errors. That's one example of the good collaboration that it was between the two communities. So, that said, I will just go to a dev. First of all, I will do some demonstration how you can start a virtual machine. Since starting a virtual machine takes a little bit of a little bit long, then I will jump onto the presentation back or answering questions. So that's up to the public to decide. So
font larger,
okay. Then, so that's good. More? Okay, thank you. So, then, here, so here I have the machine that I can create a virtual machine in the project, OpenSUSE demo. So, then I just select the system that I see OpenSUSE Tumbleweed. And here you see I have an image that I already downloaded for the demo purposes, because otherwise it will take a little bit of longer. But basically, when you try to add a new image, you can just add the link for the container disk, and it gets automatically updated via cron job. So this is one of the nice features of the containerized data importer for Kubebirt. I will talk a little bit later about that. So now we can click on next. And so, yep, here we go. Yes. This one. All of these parameters you can do it afterwards via JML. But for this purpose, I also wanted to show the screen. So then here I can add a new. My key. I can define for the initial run also the user, which will be demo. So, and now I will change it to OpenSUSE demo VM. Ah, one thing that I forgot, also for the time's sake, there is a service that I pre-configured behind and a root. So this virtual machine, once I configured it, will start a web server, and so it can be seen from the outside. Okay, I can see it from the outside because I am behind a VPN. You will not have access to it, but you will be able to see it in the screen. So in order to do some steps of configuration, I will stop everything. And here we go. Now I want to cheat a little bit because I have the commands here. So down. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Now, for the ones who know CloudFinit, this is how you can configure a virtual machine via CloudFinit. It's, for the ones who doesn't know it, it's like a Docker file for virtual machines. So here, basically, I just add these commands here. And as you can see, what I does, I install Git. I get a repository from my GitHub, and then I start this web server. So, clicking on save, verifying that. Yeah, it's there. So now we are good to go. So now it's starting. In a couple of seconds, we will be able to see the console output. And if it doesn't work, I have a video. So. Here we go. Let's start with the serial console. That will be like if you attach a serial port to the machine, and then we can switch to VNC. So in between, the virtual machine is starting, we'll install the dependencies, and before we go, I can explain, first of all, questions so far. Okay, then I will continue explaining a little bit about OpenShift. Where is my mouse? Here we go. Well, no. Here we go. So, now. A little bit of time. Okay. Now, how does it work behind these scenes? Because Kubernetes understands containers. So Kubernetes is a container orchestration system. So, and the main job that Kubernetes does is just orchestrate the containerization. So you have also services to reach out from the outside, manage the workload. So if a container goes away, then I can switch to another node, and so on and so forth. And what is the difference between Kubernetes and OpenShift? As you see, that OpenShift basically puts some more operators on top. That's not directly related to OpenShift virtualization per se, but since OpenShift virtualization belongs to OpenShift, I wanted to name it. You can use also Kubernetes and the priority is kubert. But you have the disadvantage that with kubert you need to manage all the add-ons by yourself, so like CDI, for example. So with that you have a lot of things that actually come for free for you, so like logging and registry. So, oh yeah, wow. Okay, then I will be fast. Then, what is the magic trick used for running virtual machines inside a container. Basically, packs, a virtual packs QEMU in a packs QEMU, KVM, and libvirt in a container and it starts the VM. Then some of the components build some syntactic sugar, I will go into that, build some syntactic sugar so that you can do via OC get VM, OC get VMI, and you can start a VM. And so on. But at the end of the day, it's just a container. So that's what it that's what is wonderful about this solution, because it is a first class citizen. The most important guy is here, the virt launcher pod. This is the one once you start a VM that starts with libvirt, starts with QEMU, and in fact you can access the container and see the logs. And you can also take a look at the libvirt, which can help for debugging purposes. So now we'll just go back to the VM. So here we go. The VM started. Now login via SSH.
You don't see the
SSH. Yeah, I am moving it. So here we go. This is the VM. I log in via virctl command. And if everything works, I can even do a rel. And you should be able to see in the console here that it's accessing requests. Another thing that I want to show, how many time do I have? 4 minutes, okay, perfect. Then, one of the cool features that also offers is migration, live migration. And so we can go to this VM here. Come on. Here we go. Now, here. Migration. Of course, the compute node, we have three. We have three in this configuration. So that automatically selected. And what we can see here is like, how do I see the node in which it's running? Wait a second. Yeah, here. So you will see that at some point in time, it will change here to migrating, and the node will change, but you will see that of course, you will have a downtime because it's not like a container, it's a VM, it needs to be initialized and so on. But that's the key of live migration, you minimize the downtime. That works also when a node goes down. It knows that it goes down gracefully, of course. You enter into maintenance mode, which I will not do it because of time constraints. So I will just.
These ones are different kubevirt nodes. In the Kubernetes cluster, they are labeled, and then you can switch it. That's it.
Yeah.
It's running again, by the way.
Sorry?
It's running again.
Oh, can you?
It's running again. So, did you watch your clock?
So, to answer the question about the downtime, it's running again. So, did you check your clock before? Then you know it.
Well, this is the live migration is a feature from KVM, so we are just leveraging KVM. So the downtime we have is the same downtime that live migration for KVM offers. I didn't measure that, but it's a battle-tested feature from this relative old technology, which we are leveraging here. But if you wanna have some data, you can ask the performance team for it.
When one additional hint from my side about it, I have requested it last year at FrostCon because we had a hot discussion with Red Hat about the situation at IBM and how they handled us, and they thought all has to be Red Hat only, all the way IP trust, perhaps also canonical. And when the product manager for OpenShift AI said, I want to support you with OpenShift AI support, I go to my colleague for OpenShift virtualization. If I enable it for x86, IBM has to follow and support you also. And the next step is also supporting OpenShift AI on the C17. That's the goal then. And we are at the end then, it seems so.